Hello and welcome to the Nation's Blind Podcast. I'm Melissa Riccobono.
And I'm Anil Lewis. Welcome. Welcome to all of our listeners.
Yeah, welcome. And welcome to a new format of the Nation's Blind Podcast. It's pretty exciting.
Yeah, new format. It fits really nicely for me, though. I like the fit of this new format.
I do, too. So, not to keep you in suspense any longer, the new format, we are going to provide you shorter episodes more often.
That way you get to hear Melissa and I more frequently.
Yes, you do.
But you don't have to listen as long.
That's right. That's right. So it's very exciting. We're really thrilled about this because we hope that this will lead to more feedback from all of you. And we hope that all of you will find the time to listen to the Nation's Blind Podcast because, again, it'll be little short snippets. Now, there'll still be the things that you have grown to know and we hope love about the Nation's Blind Podcast. Great interviews. The presidential privilege will definitely still be a part of this new format. And we would love some feedback and we'll tell you at the end how to give it to us
about That's the beauty of it. You can give us feedback. And now the podcast can be more timely with the information. We don't have to try to accumulate information over a month's period of time. And now we can be responsive to what you, our listeners, want to hear on the Nation's Blind Podcast. So we're making sure that you take advantage of all the opportunities to reach out to us so that we can give you information that you find helpful.
Definitely. Well, without further ado, we are going to dive into our first episode for this month. And this is not only a new format of the Nation's Blind Podcast, but we're also announcing that we are going to be starting a podcast for blind parents at the National Federation of the Blind as well.
Yes, the Blind Parents Connection podcast. It's not going to be ongoing past this year, but we thought it would be important to develop some tools to help blind parents learn the skills and access information and resources that they can continue to be blind parents, and also using it as a tool to educate those people in the space like the social workers and the custody decision makers. And you will understand why this is so important when you hear about the topic that we're talking about here in the month of February.
Yes, we unfortunately have had a very, to me, very disturbing case come to our attention from Oregon about two parents who happened to be blind who planned and were excited to welcome their
first child
into the world and seemed to have done everything right, had lots of support in place, had lots of, I mean, obviously all the equipment they needed to take care of a baby. I believe they took classes, but they are having the very, I don't even know what to call it. Unfortunate doesn't do it justice.
Yeah.
The heart-wrenching, maybe?
Yeah.
Experience.
Tragic.
That the Department of Human Services in Oregon has decided that because they're blind, they needed to be watched very closely, supervised with their new infant. And we talked with this first episode, we have an interview with Carla McQuillan, who is the state president of the National Federation of the Blind of Oregon, talking about this case and how it started on New Year's Day and how her new year sort of got off to a very interesting start with this case.
Very difficult. I mean, as a blind parent, and I'm sure you as a blind parent, Melissa, you think that it's just done and it's over,
yes.
But it's not. The ignorance around this is so pervasive. And, let's listen.
Yes. You're listening to the Nation's Blind Podcast, and I am here with Carla McQuillan. Hello, Carla. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks, Melissa.
Glad that you're able to join us today. So why don't you tell our listeners just a little bit about yourself before we get started on our topic?
Okay. I am blind. I have been since I was a child. I have two children. They're adults now. I worked in the field of education since the early 80s, and I also serve as the president of the National Federation of the Blind of Oregon.
You're a very busy lady. And you also help with our Braille Enrichment for Literacy and Learning, National Federation of the Blind, Braille Enrichment for Literacy and Learning Academies. You help train.
I do indeed.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I heard, though, we're not here to talk about the NFB Bell Academies, although that's a great topic. I heard that your New Year's Day was extremely interesting as the president of the National Federation of the Blind of Oregon, and also, I guess, as a parent and an educator yourself. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what happened on New Year's Day?
Well, first of all, I am, in retrospect, thankful that I actually answered the phone for the National Federation of the Blind of Oregon on New Year's Day, because I received a call from an educator from Connecticut who still gets in contact with a family in Oregon here. And this once student of this educator just had a baby right before Christmas. And when the mom and dad, who are both blind, were in the hospital, a nurse complained to the Department of Human Services, Child Protective Services in Oregon, that there was a blind couple and a list of things like the nurse didn't think they would know when the baby's bottle was empty when they were feeding, or that they could safely sleep in the same bed with the baby without rolling over and, you know, suffocating it, and just ridiculous stuff like that. Well, rather than investigating the allegations, the Child Protective Services workers, and I'm sure when we're talking about right around Christmas, half their office was on vacation. So this was, you know, the B team, if you will. They immediately jumped to a 24-hour restriction of there had to be a sighted individual with the mom and the baby at all times. And that meant even in the middle of the night, if the mom needed to nurse the baby, she first had to go and wake up, in this case it was her mother-in-law, so that she would not be alone feeding the baby, and was told in no uncertain terms that if she failed to do this, they would take the baby away entirely.
Oh my goodness. Okay, I cannot even imagine. I mean, I am thinking back to being a new parent myself. And for me, it was 12 years ago already when I was a new parent. It is stressful to be a new parent, particularly when you're, I mean, any part of it is stressful already. And you're just trying to figure these things out. I can't imagine adding on top of that the stress of needing a sighted person there looking over my shoulder, or, I mean, that's, and hopefully the mother-in-law had good attitudes and was kind of able to minimize some of that. But I cannot imagine being told, if you do not do this, we're going to take your baby away from you.
Right, right. Wow. And the mom was so stressed that she stopped breastfeeding entirely. Because it was more than she could handle. And
sure,
what a very sad situation to have to endure. Like you said, with as if the other stress of being a brand new mom wasn't enough.
Wow.
So fortunately, after multiple attempts to reach someone who I thought could do something about this, I was able to speak to a supervisor, kind of laid the case out. It wasn't her case. She didn't know anything about it. And I really emphasized that this seemed like an overreaction to a situation, and that it needed to be remedied immediately for the sake of the bonding between the mother and the father and the baby. So the good news is that within, I believe, about an hour of the time that I spoke to a supervisor at Child Protective Services, the mom tells me that the restriction was lifted, that she no longer had to be supervised by her mother-in-law or any other sighted human being. But again, as I said, she stopped nursing and, you know, the damage was already done.
Wow. So what is happening now? Is CPS still involved, or have they dropped the case completely?
Well, okay, so that's interesting. At the meeting where this was first discussed, they listed all the concerns, which of course they admitted were really not concerns, but that they were required by law to act immediately and impose this 24/7 restriction, which I know for a fact is not what the law states. They're responsible for investigating any complaints or allegations, not to act without firsthand knowledge. So they have indicated that they intend to close the case. I am not personally able to get a hold of the documents that are in that file, but the mother is going to request a copy so that we know exactly what the language in the file is. Because here's my concern. Even if they close the case and they say, okay, we're not going to bother you anymore. What if mom and dad are walking down the street and they've got their little baby in a stroller and some well-meaning neighbor mm-hmm. sees two blind parents and freaks out and calls Child Protective Services? So someone in that office is going to open a file and go, oh, look at that. They have a history with us.
Right.
Bam. They won't even get a fair shot on a second round. And that'll follow them the rest of their lives unless we can remove that.
Absolutely. So the baby was born before Christmas. So this 24/7 restriction was placed on them soon after the baby's birth. So about how long did they have to have somebody with them for 24
yeah.
hours?
Good point. The baby was born on the 21st of December. So they would have gone home, I'm guessing somewhere on the 23rd or so, because there were no complications. So that would have been from the 23rd until the 2nd of January.
My goodness. And again, this is happening. This happened in 2018, 2019. This is not
yes.
something from
yes.
10 years ago, 15 years ago, 50 years ago. This is a brand new case.
Yep.
Did the social service worker ever talk to the parents, or did they just put this restriction on?
No, they put the restriction on without ever meeting the parents. There was no investigation. In fact, they did not deal with the parents firsthand until several days after the restriction, when they came out and did a home visit. I want to say almost a week after, because it was after the holidays. I mean, it was after Christmas.
Wow. So sight unseen, just because of someone's concerns.
Yeah.
Without talking to the parents, asking them, how will you know when your child's bottle is empty?
Right.
How will you make sure that if you co-sleep that you won't roll over? And
yes.
by the way, that's a concern for sighted parents
as
well. I mean, lots of hospitals actually make you watch a video that talks about the dangers of co-sleeping, and I'm not going to get into the pros and cons of that on this podcast. However, that makes me shake my head that that would be one of the concerns that
yes.
would be cited. That's ridiculous to me.
Yes. Keeping babies' airways open was another one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Wow. Well, this is a really terrible story. I guess the only good part is that it's a happy ending. What would you say to other people who might find themselves in this position, or even just expectant parents? What, if anything, do you think we all can do to sort of minimize possible damages of this type from happening?
Oh my, I would say get an advocate the minute someone tells you that there's a restriction on your ability to be with your baby, or that they want to take your baby. Or I would say the sooner you get someone else to advocate for you if you don't feel strong enough to do it yourself. And sometimes there is real strength in numbers. The National Federation of the Blind is there in every state, and someone can be there. I don't live near this family, but the first thing I did after speaking to them was sent one of our members over to be with the mom and dad and, you know, kind of assure them that there were people there for them.
Yeah, absolutely. I would echo that. I think that the sooner you can get a network of some type, and it's great to have a network of sighted friends and family that believe in you. You need that village like everybody
right.
else does. I think, though, that it is crucial to get a network also of blind people that believe in you, particularly other blind parents. We do have our Blind Parent Initiative. We have a blind parent mentoring program. We'd love to try to hook you up with people, but also just getting involved with the National Federation of the Blind in your state. So if that were to happen, you would have that instant network of
right
people
away. Yep.
right away that you can talk to. And, you know, maybe even if you're really concerned, having a blind person or two visit you at the hospital. I was just reading something the other day, and it was a parent that said, you know, my husband and I kind of on purpose had as many sighted friends and family as possible and blind friends too, but you know, kind of the emphasis, which is very sad, on those other people that they felt the hospital then would see as, oh, they have all this support going home, and oh, thank goodness, you know, they're sighted people that are going to be around them. And they were having some issues initially, and as soon as they kind of started having this sort of army of people start coming through in a reasonable way, I mean, they didn't have the room, you know, chock full, but they had them coming through, then it really became less and less of an issue. And even just answering questions. If someone says to you, are you going to have sighted help at home? Just say yes.
Right.
You know, I know you want to be honest, but I felt like even with our first child, I knew my mom wasn't going to be coming for a couple weeks. But
sure.
I just said, oh, yes, my mom is coming.
Right.
I didn't feel the need to say it's not going to be for a couple weeks. I also knew I had neighbors that push come to shove. Yes,
sure.
I could get some sighted help in there if it absolutely were necessary. So I felt very comfortable saying yes.
But let me tell you that just a couple of 2 years ago at Providence Medical Center in Portland, Oregon, I got a call from a Child Protective Services caseworker who said that the nurses at Providence did not want to allow a single blind mom to take her baby home with her, despite the fact that she had a huge family network who were there with her at the hospital. They feared the single mom taking that baby home by herself. And it took for us to send out a blind mom who also was a social worker, who not only talked to the mom, talked to the family, but also did some quick training with the staff.
Wow.
So it it's not always as easy as just surrounding yourself with people that you think are going to give the right impression. And that's really sad.
That's very sad. And that's very scary. Well, I'm glad that you were there, not only for this case, but for the one a couple years ago. I know that we have been in lots of affiliates in the National Federation of the Blind trying to file and pass right to parent bills in different states. And I guess this goes to show that this type of thing still happens even today. And
well, and just real quickly, Melissa, the parental rights bills, we tried to pass one in Oregon, and essentially Department of Justice says we already have non-discrimination laws, so why would we need another one? And I look at I'm like, well, we may, but it's not working.
Yeah.
And something has got to change.
Absolutely.
To bring this to the surface, because I think people don't know that it's going on out there to the extent that it is.
That's right. And I guess that's the reason that we really wanted to share this as a podcast, to bring attention to this. This is still happening. And, you know, not only do we want to empower you as potential blind parents, we'd also love to empower those that are social workers, nurses,
yes,
other professionals, to say, this is ridiculous. This is harmful. And there's no reason for this. And let's do some training so that we can stop this from happening. So I guess that would be the other thought in my head as far as why we feel like this is a really important story to share.
Yes, agreed.
Well, thank you so much, Carla, for your time. And I really appreciate you doing your part, working hard in the National Federation of the Blind of Oregon to help blind people live the lives they want. And we appreciate your time today.
Well, thanks, Melissa. Nice talking to you.
Good talking to you. You know, that interview was very difficult for me to do. I just kept thinking, there but for the grace of God go I, you know, as a blind parent of three. But the other thing that comes through loud and clear is, this is what the National Federation of the Blind is for better or worse. This is the kind of situation where when you need advocacy and you need to reach out for help of this type, this is what our organization does.
And bless each and every one of you, of our listeners that are out there, that count yourself as a member of this organization, because it's not just Carla and it's not just the local chapter president. I mean, it's because of our collective action as a membership organization that we're able to really positively impact the lives of people who are being affected by this ignorance, this blatant discrimination.
That's right. Absolutely. So we would love some feedback on this episode.
Yes, and this is only the beginning. We're going to have two other episodes related to this particular topic during the month of February. You know, we want you to tune in because it's not over. There's still work to be done, and we want you to be part of that work.
Definitely. And the next episode, just to tease it a little bit, I actually had a chance to sit down with the father of this newborn baby and talk with him about this experience from his and his wife's perspective. Another interview that's important. I can't call it a great interview. Again, this topic just makes my heart break a little bit every time I think about it. Yeah. But we bring you all types of information here at the Nation's Blind Podcast, the good, the bad, the everything in between.
This is a necessary topic.
It's something that
we have to stop. And the only way we're going to stop is through education and continued vigilance and advocacy.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And so it's much better to have this out in the public and have people know about it and have people hopefully help us do something about it than it is to just sweep it under the rug. So we're happy about that.
And if you want to help, if you're a blind parent and you have some strategies of dealing with, you know, the day-to-day life, we'd love to hear what you have to say. You can email information to podcast@nfb.org, and we may actually interview you for the Blind Parents Connection podcast, because we need real stories from real blind parents to make that impact, to make that difference.
Yes, we definitely do. You can also call us, 410-659-9314, extension 2444.
Mm-hmm. You can tweet, and you can just reference our Twitter handle. That's @NFB_voice.
You can also find us on Facebook. Just search for National Federation of the Blind. Well, thank you very much for listening to this episode. And remember, you can live the life you want.
Blindness is not what holds you back.